All right. Well, good morning, church. I know you're thinking, who's that stunningly handsome man up there? That's definitely not Sam Wilson. If you're new, my name is Justin. I'm the youth pastor here, and it's my honor to get to share the word with you this morning as we get to go into God's word. If you would, let's give the band a round of applause, man. They do such a great job. Whether it's our country gospel team or our contemporary team, they do such a great job of getting our hearts and our minds in a place where we're ready to open the Word and worship God. So this morning, before I jump in, if you would, let's pray. Father God, we invite your Spirit this morning to open our minds and open our eyes and our hearts to hear what you have to say. God, even though these words come from my mouth, I pray that they hear your words. I pray that they feel your Spirit move among them. God, I'm so thankful for this opportunity. God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to start off this morning by asking you a really simple question. At some point in your life, have you ever just felt stuck? Like, you feel like you can't move forward, things are never going to change, and you just keep continuing to beat your head against the same walls that you've done over and over and over. Proverbs 26:11 says, like a dog to his vomit, you continue to return to the same sins, wanting freedom, but never finding it. So I know a lot of you have probably grown up on a farm around here, or spent time working on a farm, or maybe you've gone off-roading, but at some point in your life, you've probably gotten your truck or your Jeep stuck in the mud. The wheels start spinning, you shift into first, trying to get out and you can't. You shift it in reverse. You're throwing mud everywhere and you can't get out. And you're just not going anywhere. The more you try, the more you get stuck. And eventually, you bury yourself all the way up to the axle. And you have to call someone to come and pull you out. Sometimes it's someone coming with a truck and a chain to pull you out. It's been my experience that just moving over and letting someone that knows what they're doing get in the driver's seat and drive right out of it after I spent an hour trying to get unstuck. And I share that with you this morning because some of you in here today feeling stuck in life. And there's really three types of people in this room right now that we're going to talk about. See, there's this category of these folks that, man, they've been walking with God for a long time. They know what it looks like. They get to enjoy the experiences and the fullness that God offers to them. They figured some things out that some of us haven't. There's others of us that continue to just beat our heads on the same wall. We're white knuckling the steering wheel, trying to get this thing to do what we want it to do, but still yet we're just going in the same direction and we're stuck and we can't get out. We're bearing ourselves up to the axle and we realize it. We know we are, but we just can't seem to get out of our own way. And then there's this other category here this morning. It's people that are actually just doing wrong and delighting in it. You know, like, I don't really care. Give me a little bit of church on Sunday, but the rest of the week, I want my freedom. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. So this morning, I kind of want to speak to all three of those categories as we're going to be in Romans chapter 8, if you want to follow along with me in verses 5 through 13. We're going to look at what Paul teaches us. And while we go through this, I want you to be asking yourself, who is in the driver's seat of your life? Is it God or is it your flesh? Do you want to do what you want to do when you want to do it? Or is it God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who's in the driver's seat of your life? And even as believers, it's important that we reevaluate this question often in our lives to see who's in the driver's seat. Starting in verse 5, it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, the word flesh here, that's not a term that we use often outside of church. So we say, what is the word flesh here? This is your sin nature, the flesh. The word right here means the part of you that loves to sin. This is the part of you that hates authority. This is the part of you that hates accountability. This is the part of you that wants to hide the things that you do on the weekends from everybody else. This is the part of you that does not want to come to your Sunday school and talk about what you're struggling with. This is the part of you that loves to sin. And this part of you has your mind set on what the flesh desires, and it only cares about what it wants. We continue reading, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. And the Spirit here is God's Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, one part of the Trinity. Verse 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. The mind governed by the flesh hates God. The part of you that loves to sin does not like the one who has the rules to lead to a righteous life. The part of you that loves to sin wants to be free from God. It's hostile to God. It wants to do whatever it wants, whenever it wants to do it. Continuing in verse 7, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in flesh cannot please God. When you live according to the flesh, you cannot please God. And you say, well, maybe I'll just try to do some good while I'm living according to my own flesh. Listen, you doing good with the wrong motive is not good. It's bad. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I do all of these things, but I don't do them for the right motive, it's for nothing. And so you're doing good with the wrong heart. It's sin. And so my first point this morning is there's a fight for the driver's seat of your mind. Paul is writing to us, and he's talking about our minds and where it can take us. If you picture this, there's a spiritual battle going on between your flesh, who wants to drive, and between the Spirit, who wants to drive your life. And listen, if the enemy can win the mind of a man, he can keep him from the pleasures of God. But if a person's mind belongs to the Lord, so does the entire person. If God has your mind, then God has your life. He has you. And so there's two drivers at war within you. Two drivers fighting for the wheel. One is the flesh. That's the one that desires to kill you. That's the one that desires to drive you off of a cliff and send you into despair. And it's something that we can see pretty easily when we look at people. Think about people who do whatever they want, whenever they want to do it. Most oftentimes, they're some of the most dysfunctional people you'll ever meet in your life, and the least godly as well. These are the types of people that reality shows are made of, because we're entertained by how comedic and how sad their life is. So your flesh right now, your sinful nature, the sinful part of you, the part that loves to sin, desires to feed itself. It's excited about the opportunity to sin. Let me give you an example. How many of you can remember a time in your life? For some of you, this was a lot longer ago. For some of us, it's pretty fresh. Remember a time in your life when your parents chose to leave you at home by yourself. I bet you can remember that feeling when the door would shut, your parents were on the other side of it. They were in the vehicle driving down the road with you knowing that they're going to be gone for a couple of hours or maybe even a day or so. And just like that, your mind goes, man, it is on. I've got freedom. I'm about to do whatever I want to do, which is really to say I have the freedom to feed my flesh. Maybe for you is when you went to college. You got to college, your parents drop you off, you've got your one suitcase with all your belongings in it, staring at a twin-size mattress or in your dorm, or maybe it's in your apartment, and you're like, oh my goodness, freedom. Finally, I'm going to do what I want to do. That excitement is of your flesh at the opportunity of doing wrong. Maybe for you right now, it's the fact that all you can think about is the party that you're going to go to next weekend. How drunk you're going to get, how much fun you're going to have. Or maybe it's the fact that you're here this morning facing the consequences of the choices you made this past weekend. That's the part of the flesh, of your flesh, that desires to kill you. And we say that's what a life of freedom looks like. Being able to do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it. But Paul says no, that's not what that is. That's not just freedom from the rules. That's freedom from integrity. But what it really is it's freedom to forget about God. And if you keep pursuing the freedom to forget about God, you're not going to remember God any longer until you meet him in the afterlife. And this is the hostility toward God that our flesh pursues. But the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, it says in verse 6, gives life and gives peace. Allowing the Spirit to drive is not optional for a full spiritual life. It's absolutely mandatory. Without the Spirit driving your spiritual life is dying. It's like trying to go on a road trip with an empty tank of gas. You may be able to get a little ways down the road on some fumes, but shortly you're going to be on the side of the road, not being able to go anywhere, being stuck, waiting for someone to come rescue you. And that's what it's like trying to pursue God without allowing the Spirit to drive your life. Listen, God's not trying to keep something from you. He's not trying to rip you off. God wants to truly set you free, and it looks different than what your flesh says it does. God's not trying to keep that certain person from you in a relationship. He's not trying to keep a job from you. He's not trying to keep you from having friends. He's just trying to show you a true path to freedom. He doesn't want your flesh to take you off a cliff. See, some of you here this morning, you've got one foot in the church, you've got one foot in the world, and you've gotten, honestly, the worst of both. Because your life's a train wreck. You're swerving all over the road. You're like, man, I've got a little bit of the church, I've got a little bit in the world, a little bit of the party. Listen, that hasn't worked out for anyone in the history of history. I've been there and I've tried to live that. It doesn't work. I've talked to several of you that would tell me the same thing. It just doesn't work. I've never talked to a single person that's been like, no, man, this is great. Right? I got one foot in the church, one foot in the world. It's working like a champ. Things are going awesome. If that's you, you're lying. It never works. You're swerving all over the road, leaving in your path this wake of destruction. You look in your rearview mirror, and there's just this pileup of cars behind you because you're the bad driver on the road because there's a warfare going on for your steering wheel. Letting your flesh drive is not just a bad idea, it's suicidal. It's suicidal to your spiritual life and that everything that God desires for you. Your flesh doesn't care if you're running into a wall at 100 miles an hour. It just wants the steering wheel. It doesn't care if your life is a train wreck. It doesn't care if you're sad. It doesn't care if you're desperate, despairing, depressed. It doesn't care if you're drunk. It doesn't care if you're hungover. It doesn't care how you feel. It just wants the steering wheel, and it continues to do the same thing over and over and over. Paul writes in verse 9, you, however, like he switched the script here. There's a new category. He says, you, however, there's the one that lives by the flesh and runs cars into the wall at 100 miles an hour with their life in flames, but you're different. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And the Spirit is the Spirit of God. You live for eternal things. You don't live for the merely dumb, temporary, natural things. The things of this world, they won't be there in the end. You live in a realm of the Spirit. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life is in you because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? This is what we just celebrated on Easter. This is the gospel. That He gets the death that you deserve, and we get the life that He deserves. His righteousness is imputed to you, accredited to your account, that God sees you as righteous because His Son died for you in His place. Verse 13, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your immortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Try to grasp that. It's profound, right? It's this reality that the same Spirit who brought Christ back to life after He was dead, bloody, a puncture wound in His side, whipped, hung on a cross and crucified, wrapped in burial clothes, put in a cave with a big stone, rolled in front of it. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit fills his body and he's back. That same Spirit lives inside of you and it's powerful. See, when the non-believer sins, it's just their job description. That's what verse 9 and 10 are saying, that they're just doing what they're supposed to do because they don't know any different. But when a believer sins, it's a little confusing because the Spirit of God does not live in sin. My second point this morning is this: your driver determines your destination. It determines where you go. And you don't have to go the way of death. See, if you're a Christian, you have a ready, willing, and able driver in Christ Jesus because His Spirit lives with you. But if you have no desire to do the things of God, if you have no desire to go where God is leading, then most likely you're not a Christian. Like, if there's no desire in you to satisfy God, to go His way, to go where He's leading, to let Him drive, then most likely the Holy Spirit is not in you, and you're not a Christian. Some of you are looking at me right now because I'm a youth pastor, and you're like, why do you get to say that? It's not me. It's in the Bible. Read it. It's the Word. It's not what I'm saying. This is what God tells to us. It's in the text. But if when you sin, you're grieved, Christian, I'm talking to you. When you sin, you're grieved and you're sad, not because you got caught. There's a difference. If you're grieved because you got caught, that's different. If you're grieved because you truly broke the heart of God, you went a different direction, it's different from you. If you believe in the gospel, it's a different story. Because listen, it's not going to be an easy road. We're still going to sin as believers. But knowing that we have that salvation changes our outlook on everything. Your driver determines your destination. It's like getting in your car to go on vacation, right? You get in your car, you punch in your destination in your GPS. And most good drivers start with the destination in mind. And our minds work a lot like a GPS in the same sense that when you begin to type in an address, your GPS will start to kind of auto-populate addresses based on places that you've been before. Your mind works the same way because it begins to take you places and to thoughts and to images that you filled it with. When you continue to live a lifestyle, the lifestyle of the world, a lifestyle that cannot please God, you're punching in addresses. And so what does the GPS system do at that point? It begins to auto-populate these addresses. You put in the first two numbers. You're like, oh, you want to go home? I know where home is. I'll take you home. Next two numbers, you put them in. Oh, you want to go to work? I know where work is. I can take you to work. You start to put in the next two first numbers of the address. Oh, you want to go to the club? I know where the club is. Let's go. The bar? Yeah, let's go. The party? Yeah, let's go. And your GPS just starts auto-populating all these things that you put into it. But what happens when you come into a relationship with Jesus and you stop going to those places, your GPS begins to forget those addresses. Your spiritual life, you begin to put in new addresses, right? Sometimes you change the playmates on your playground. You start to hang out with different people. You begin to punch in new addresses. Those old addresses fall out, and the new addresses begin to auto-populate. You want to go to church? Let's go. I know where that is. You want to fellowship with those friends? I know how to do that. I know where to get there. And all of a sudden, as you begin to put in these new addresses, you have a new life. Why? Because you changed drivers. Now the Spirit is driving, and that Spirit takes you to different places and different destinations. Your flesh desires to kill you, and I know that's such a weird statement. And you're like, why does he keep saying that? And here's why: because everything the flesh wants hurts your relationship with God, which gives you life. So what is this death that comes from feeding your flesh? It's anxiety. It's exhaustion. Anybody in here exhausted? It's hangovers. It's pregnancy scares. It's heartbreak. Feeling like you can't go on. It's guilt, shame, depression, despair, or maybe worse than all of those things. It's apathy. It's a life without meaning because all you've ever done is live for yourself. And some of us need to hear that. Sometimes I need to hear that. Even as a pastor, I get caught up in the things I want to happen and sometimes step away from the direction God wants me to go. Luckily, I'm blessed with the staff around me that can pull me back in and say, dude, wake up. But listen, we have a driver that you can trust. He's leading you to life, and this life is the best news you'll ever hear. You have a driver that is ready, willing, and able in Christ, and he's leading you to life. And that same God that you can trust is experienced. Nothing you're going to face is something that he has never dealt with. He's dealt with everything countless numbers of times. You think he's thrown for a loop when you just got laid off from a job? No. No. See, my God deals with people who get laid off all the time. He's like, I got them. I got you. It may not look like what you wanted to, but I got you. How about this one? God, he broke my heart. She broke my heart. God says, I love you. Love me. I got a plan for you. You think I haven't been there a billion times? Do you trust me? Hand me the keys. You stop driving and let me drive. God's Spirit has a perfect track record. He can bring the dead to life. So what's the worst that can happen to you? You could die? He's like, dude, I've been there. I've been there. I beat that. A life trusting God's Spirit, and this comes straight from Galatians 5:22-23, is a life full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's what God's Spirit gives. That's where he leads us, and that's where he's driving you to. Paul is teaching this incredibly valuable lesson that is simply this: your thoughts take you places. What you think about is taking you somewhere. Have you ever found yourself in the middle of sin where you haven't actually thought about it first? It starts in your mind and it carries you there. James says this in chapter 1 of verse 14, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Your thoughts take you there to different destinations in this world, but also to different destinations in the afterlife. And here's what I mean by that. Your thoughts ultimately point to who you've trusted in. Whether that's yourself or whether that's Christ and his death and his resurrection and the blood that he poured out to cover your sins. And so you might say, well, I can't control my thoughts. I can't stop sinning. I'm a Christian and I just can't stop committing this same sin. You're telling me, right, the Spirit that gave life to Christ, the one who busted open the tomb, who defeated death, that same Spirit can't help you stop looking at pornography? That same Spirit can't help you to stop obsessing over relationships? Like, he can bring Jesus back to life, but he can't figure out how to overcome the fact that you're obsessed with your own body. Come on. It's the Spirit who brought Christ to life that lives within you. Have you tried surrendering to him, saying, God, I can't, but you can. God, I've tried everything. I've joined a church, right? I've joined an accountability group. I've used website blockers. I've tried everything. And he says simply this, but have you really tried trusting in me? Have you really tried surrendering to me? How about trusting in me for a change? How about handing me the keys of your life and letting me drive? How about submitting to authority? How about coming into a church and belonging like I've clearly asked you to do in my word? How about trusting my Spirit in that way and stop treating me like a genie or a party trick? Stop only coming to me when you're in desperate need. Live a life daily that represents that relationship. Romans 8, verse 12. So then, brothers, We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. See, we have an obligation. And this obligation is not to live a life according to the flesh. That's not what we're obligated to do. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Jesus says you will have life, and you will have life to the fullest. You will have a life and have it abundantly following God. I'm telling you, life is found in Jesus and Jesus alone, nowhere else. My final point is this. It's time to designate a driver. Your flesh or God's Spirit, you choose. Today you get to say, who's going to drive the rest of my life? And if you're choosing the Spirit, you're obligated then to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And listen, your flesh is going to want to continue to drive. It's going to keep trying. It's going to try to grab the steering wheel. It's still going to try to drive you off that cliff. So you must every day make it a practice to surrender your thoughts to the Spirit. Not to dwell on what the flesh desires. Not to watch movies that feed your flesh. Not to watch TV shows that feed your flesh. Not to listen to music that feeds your flesh. And I know that sounds super legalistic. You're like, man, this sounds like an old school traditional church. Man, they're telling me how I have to live my life. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm just telling you there's truth to those things. There's truth to it. If you're feeding your mind, it's feeding your desires. What you're feeding your mind is feeding your desires. So if you listen to a song, right, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I want everything that's in that song, right? I want money, I want the girls, I want all that, right? You watch a show, and now everything that you've just watched on that show, you want. Ladies, you want 24 guys chasing after you. You get to make out with every one of them, right? And then you get to pick the one you love. Come on. That's crazy. But we watch those things and we feed our hearts those things. It's just crazy. But as you walk by the Spirit, you're closer to the Father with every step. And it's a beautiful reality that as you walk by the Spirit, He's leading you to a destination, which is eternity with God. And you're closer to it with every step. You begin to look at every step with excitement and anticipation of eternity with God, and the joy that comes from knowing that this is now your world, and every step you take with the Spirit in the driver's seat is taking you there, and the excitement begins to build. So much so that when your heart stops beating, that last beat, when you take your last breath, it's just this next natural step to eternity. Following God and walking by the Spirit gives death a different perspective. It's not the end. It's the beginning. It goes from life this side of eternity with God to life eternal with God. So you have a choice this morning. You have a choice to choose who's in the driver's seat. If you would bow your heads with me this morning as you get ready to close and the band begins to come up and we get ready to play. For some of you this morning, you've been letting God drive and you've experienced that fullness of life. I would ask you to continue to evaluate your life and see who's in the driver's seat. Others here today have never scooted over and let the Spirit get in the driver's seat. And that changes here today. And you say, well, how do I do that? It's by confessing your sins to Him. Confessing that you're a sinner.